The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
The wrestling world lost a true legend this week, and GFW may be losing everything. Plus a lot more wrestling news tonight here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Hey, it is Wednesday, September 20th. We just filmed CCW Live, and we are ready to give you all the news, reviews, opinions, interviews that you can come to expect from this well-oiled machine that we call Podzilla 1985. We got rid of the dead weight, and now it's time to flourish. I am your host tonight, Shannon Young, Mr. 100. That means I got 100 problems, but a certain someone ain't one no more. Down at the end of the table, we have Asa Gray, the five-star man.
I don't enjoy this bit.
Not a bit. Down to the left, we have the big D, Dalton Anthony.
I'm happy we finally let her go.
And I do want to mention that we did we let Allie go.
Yeah.
She's no longer a part of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. And she, wish her the best.
Like, what are we really missing when we let her go?
That's true.
Yeah, like, I've had to look across for her for like the last year and a half. I've really not liked it.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
No.
I'm right here.
There she is. Okay.
Hey, Allie.
I'm still here.
You didn't hear any of that, did
that's
you?
Like the...
no! It wasn't like you're sitting right there.
Oh, thank God. I said a lot of
horror. That's super loud. Well, she's emphatic now.
Yeah, because your future endeavored me.
So Allie missed CCW tonight, CCW Live, because she had to work. She also missed commentary because she had to work. So welcome back to wrestling.
Thanks.
Oh, Sarah asked me if everything was okay.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening to the show and you were a part of this, no, she's fine.
Yeah, no, nothing happened. We were just Shannon was being a douche, and I decided
Billy
to help.
Billy messaged me because he had a question, not because he cared. Oh! He was just like, "Oh yeah, I hope everything's okay, but
can you help?
I have a question."
He sounds like, just like that too.
That's a weird. That's a great Billy. Yeah, that was a good Billy. Almost as good as your Braun.
Can you do your Braun Strowman impression for everybody?
But sit back from the microphone when you do it.
Braun.
That was pretty close.
That was close.
10 out of 10.
Accurate.
That was a Ty Dillinger.
All right. So let's get the yuck yucks in because we're going to talk about something very, very sad to start off with. We mentioned this on Sunday. I was guest starring on Nerd Up and that was a lot of fun. Right before we started airing, I found out from Ace and Dalton that Bobby the Brain Heenan passed away. And, we want to start off the show by talking about that a little bit because this isn't the first wrestling death that we've had to cover on PW. Of course, we had Roddy Piper and Dusty Rhodes passed away almost next to each other.
That was before I was here.
But that, what was that? Like a couple of months in between? I think if that.
It was the summer. It was like end of the college school year, end of the summer that they both passed away.
And then, of course, China passed away last year. I believe.
Balls Mahoney passed away last year, too.
Balls Mahoney.
There was a lot of very, like, memorable people in the world of wrestling, but I don't think anybody with the... This one hit harder.
Yeah, I can honestly say that. Like, I thought that Dusty Rhodes was probably the worst one for me, and Roddy Piper, too, because I was in love with both of those guys, and they were two of my favorites of all time. But Bobby the Brain Heenan was a staple in wrestling for as long as I can remember. The only reason Bobby Heenan wasn't still on your television week to week was because he unfortunately developed cancer and physically could not.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe that if Bobby Heenan was capable, he would have been involved in wrestling, other than doing the meet and greets and stuff like that, that he would still be a part of the creative process of wrestling because the man was brilliant in the ring and out of the ring. And Asa, I know this, we all talk about this. You have made it well known numerous times that Bobby the Brain Heenan was a personal hero of yours.
Yeah.
So.
It sucks. Like the whole like last 5 years of his life, more than that even, was just not what the man deserved.
Right.
Cause like for as much as we talk about like how talented he was and how amazing he was, nothing but positive things. Like there's not people who didn't like him.
Right.
And the people who didn't like him were also just kind of like the people that didn't like anybody.
Mm.
And like they're the ones that are going and, you know, burying everyone they can to try to make a name for themselves.
I can't think. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but do you have a name of someone?
I don't remember his name, but there was like, this was years ago that I saw it, that he was just like, oh, whatever.
Oh, I thought you meant after he passed away.
No, I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, because it's been nothing
like,
but
love. If there was someone who had been talking like that after he passed away, then I wouldn't be on this show because I
You'd be at home.
Be in jail.
Right.
but no, yeah, cause like he legitimately, like when we talked about, I can't remember what we talked about, but we talked about it before and we kind of told Allie about, his battle with cancer and how like he was the brain, but like he was so quick-witted.
Yeah.
And he was so funny and could just grab every single human being, humanoid's attention.
Yeah.
By speaking. For him to lose his, you know, the better part of his jaw to throat cancer is just a sick joke.
A cosmic cruelty.
Like that is, like that's an injustice,
yeah,
is what it is. And so, it, you know, I'm trying not to cry on the show because he was like a hero of mine. Like I missed him in his prime. Like I didn't start watching until after he was,
yeah,
pretty well done.
He was the best part of the 80s.
And going,
I will say that.
And going back and like listening to him, like listening to old matches with him on commentary, listening, watching him bring the family to the ring,
yeah,
and like what he did as a ringside manager, just, he was magic. That's the only thing, is like he had to have like sold his soul to the devil to be that good. But then he was so good that he went around, got his, and just talked the devil into giving him his soul back.
Yeah.
Because yeah, he's the only person who could do that. Like what I put on Twitter is like, even if we deserved it, there's never going to be another Bobby Heenan. There can't be.
I never saw him wrestle. I know he started as a wrestler.
Yeah.
But instead chose to go into managerial roles and stuff like that, mm-hmm, where he flourished. You know, him as a manager, he was the best manager of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was the best color commentator of all time.
Yep.
Him and Gorilla Monsoon, we talked about, remember a while back, we talked about what's our favorite combo for announcing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm, you know, obviously Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler are iconic.
A classic.
Well, and I mean, and like, that's just because that was the one I was, that's
a lot of people grew up with,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, and we argue a lot about wrestling now versus wrestling when I was growing up, because I always mention, oh, I love the 80s stuff and you guys love the newer stuff. And that's fine. Everybody has their own stuff, but everybody had a love of Bobby Heenan. And I grew up with Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. And I really feel fortunate that I got to experience that, you know, that was my introduction, yeah, to wrestling, mm-hmm, was Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. And I will say the saddest thing I've ever heard in professional wrestling was when Gorilla Monsoon passed away
and
Bobby Heenan paid tribute to him on Nitro. And if the little shit Tony Schiavone hadn't ruined it so badly, it would have been one of the just most iconic wrestling moments. Because
did he?
Oh, the, and this is all internet. This is what everyone that was there said. So of course you have to take this with a grain of salt. But the story goes that Schiavone hated it. He did not want to pay tribute to Gorilla Monsoon. And the way he spoke about it on the show, if you go back and listen to it, you could tell he was kind of irritated. He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to promote the other show, even knowing that Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan were such friends. And there was a quote that Bobby Heenan says, I think it was on the same show, where he, and I don't remember the exact quote, you have to look it up, but he says something about Tony Schiavone not being able to see people from up on his high seat or whatever. That was just a dagger, because Bobby Heenan was pissed about it. Bobby Heenan loved Gorilla Monsoon like a brother, and that he was shown disrespect like that. It's, read about it. It will, yeah, make you dislike,
I did,
Tony,
I'd never
Schiavone,
heard it. I'd only seen the clip,
right,
of him on Nitro, and like, I didn't get any kind of thing from Tony Schiavone about, like, or I didn't get a vibe that he had meant to, like, he moved on very quickly.
And
but at the same time, it's like,
I didn't know him.
Well, and I didn't put that on him as much, right, as probably like, okay, you know, we are going to pay tribute, because like, TNA has done similar stuff.
Right.
Where they, you know, a legend dies, but it's a legend who's only been associated with WWE.
Right.
But they still want to make a mention, so they do a brief thing and then move on. And
yeah,
I just kind of assumed.
But with this, and the brotherhood between Gorilla and Bobby,
yeah,
you know, and
the greatest call of all time, and like, fight me, it's not JR, with, you know, as God is my witness, he's broken in half.
Mm.
It's Shawn Michaels putting Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window, and Bobby Heenan exclaiming, what a cowardly thing to do, to dive through the barbershop window to get away from Shawn Michaels.
God bless that.
Immediately,
man,
followed by the classic Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh, will you stop?
Will you stop?
So, and I mentioned it to Asa, and you may have too many to like say one, because I have like two. What is your, like, do you have a favorite Bobby Heenan moment besides
that? It's that one. That one's my favorite, just because that's the iconic one. That,
yeah,
was, it was so good. I've always been a fan of the, how, you know, if you don't believe how great I am, just ask me.
Watch the gimmick battle royal that he did with Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah.
Some of the lines in that, like when Mean Gene says, they're talking about the Repo Man, mm-hmm. and he said, I think he got my grandma last summer, something like that. And Bobby says, well, everyone got your grandma last summer. Just stuff like that. He was so sharp.
He had, people forget, he had a legitimate talk show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the network loved him so much, like they gave him his own talk show. It wasn't, he didn't get a talk show segment. It wasn't Ms. TV. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah. It was a show.
Yeah. It was a legitimate.
And he was the only one that I felt like when he left WWF at the time and went to WCW, he was the only one I watched WCW for a while just because I loved him. Like he did as well in WCW as he did in WWF. But you could kind of tell he didn't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, he was so funny and he was just an incredible talent. And we could literally sit here all show and tell stories about Bobby Heenan and why he was so amazing.
I will say, so we talked about it just a couple months ago. The one thing that Bobby Heenan did that I always forgot it was him. I always thought it was Tony Schiavone was when Hogan turned in WCW.
The biggest heel turn of all time. Yeah.
When Bobby Heenan, when he goes out there and Bobby Heenan exclaims, but whose side is he on?
Well, let's set it up for Allie real quick, because I don't know if you know. So basically, Hall and Nash are the outsiders. They come supposedly from WWF. They were
sent from WWF
to destroy WCW
from the inside.
So they have a match set up against the Macho Man Randy Savage, Sting, and Lex Luger, I believe, right, Dalton?
Yes.
The Maniacs or something like that.
Well, they all had their face painted as a
Sting.
Yeah, I have that action figure set.
You do?
Yep.
And Hall and Nash are wrestling. And they promise a third man. So Hogan comes out and Bobby, and they're all playing it off like, oh, here comes Hogan. He's going to give it to the outsiders.
It's one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time, honestly.
Match to the Beach.
Yeah. And the entire, like, it's, well, they built it for like a month, but the entire pay-per-view, there's Mean Gene in the back behind a door with, guarded, like, cops guarding this door and be like, I don't know who the third man is. I know the voice. The voice is there, but it's cloudy. I can't really hear it, but I know that voice, but I just don't know where I know it from. And then, so they build it up this entire show. We don't know who the third man is. And then Hogan comes out
and they play him up like he's the savior. And then he drops the leg.
Except for Bobby Heenan,
who
screams, but whose side is he on?
Whose side is he on?
And going back and watching. And so I very much am familiar with the majority of Bobby Heenan's like WWF stuff and a little bit of his stuff in WCW. Like he had some really cool moments in WCW, but he's always at his best with Monsoon, with Mean Gene Okerlund.
With Andre the Giant, with the family.
And then with the family.
Yeah.
And also I've never been a huge Hogan fan. And so I've never gone out of my way to rewatch a lot of the Hogan stuff. But someone on Reddit pointed out, like, cause someone made a similar comment to me. He's like, yeah, but it kind of totally spoiled the moment. And that's how I always viewed it. But then someone's like, no, you have to keep in mind, though, if you go back and you watch early, like pretty much the entire, any match that Heenan called with Hogan or was involved with Hogan, because Heenan feuded with Hogan in WWF.
Storyline-wise, they hated each other.
They had such a history, and Heenan always hated Hogan.
Right.
And even in his commentary, as Hogan is the ultimate babyface, he's still, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
He's a snake. He's just, no one knows it but me. I'm the only one smart enough to see through his guys, which is a wonderful, like, heel commentary thing to do.
But also a 10-year build-up for this turn.
And then for it to come to a head at this moment where Heenan is, like, vindicated.
Yeah.
Like, he was proven right.
But he didn't want to be.
Yeah, because he's a WCW guy. He doesn't, like, these outsiders are dangerous. And, you know, WCW is how he gets his money. Like, he doesn't want, and for Hogan to come out and do, and so it added a whole other dynamic to that that I never even considered. And now I'm just, like, legitimately mad at myself for not making that connection and, like, just thinking, like, oh, so you're not perfect. Like, you're 99.9 repeating.
There was that 0.1%.
But there's just that 0.01 thing that...
What always ruined that moment for me was actually Tony Schiavone when he said, let's get everybody out here to kick his butt. That line always bothered me.
Really?
Because, like, in this super serious moment, I probably wouldn't say butt.
Yeah.
They were on pay-per-view.
I would say ass in this one particular time. I'm sorry. We're not on pay-per-view.
You're not Roman.
And then Bobby
Heenan, I think he was best friends with everybody, by the way. Mm-hmm. And even though he and Hogan had that huge feud, apparently best friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I say this stuff like this a lot, and I'm not doing this to put over Hulk Hogan, but man, to think of how many legends
have gone, and you basically have, we've counted it before, you have like Mean Gene, Hogan, Ric Flair, Sting. You have a handful left. And this one hurt especially bad.
Yeah. And like I was bummed. I was super bummed when Dusty died, especially like after seeing all the great work he was doing in NXT. Really bummed about Roddy Piper because, again, just one of the most, not underrated, but I think underappreciated in the time.
And not only that, but in acting. Like, I loved him in They Live. I loved him in It's Always Sunny.
But
his mania is not confined to the
ring. Yeah. Super
fun. But yeah, Heenan is like, this is legitimately probably like the first of my heroes to go. Like, this is the first time that's happened. And so we literally found out like 30 minutes before we recorded Nerd Up.
Yeah.
And I almost went home. Like, I didn't want to, like, I felt bad because like Dalton was trying to talk to me and I'm just like, I really don't want to talk to people.
And honestly, I didn't want to say it then because like you say, like your childhood here, I've told the story like 4 times on the show, I'm sure. But like when Macho Man died.
Yeah.
Cause like I mean, if you listen to that, PW Presents, we talked about the Steamboat Macho Man match with T-Dog and Plumster. And like, I just remember I was sitting, we were practicing for my graduation that night, high school graduation. My mom sends me a text, hey, Randy Savage died. Cause this was like a little bit right before like you could really get on a phone and like check Facebook a whole lot. Like, not a lot of phones could do that. So I was just like, I didn't know, my mom had to tell me. And I just remember like the same thing where I was like, I don't want anybody dealing with me. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't fun.
And I hope that when the day comes that Hogan passes away, that everyone's nice to me. And they don't put an asterisk in there of like, no, Hogan was a legend, but, cause I'll be like, please don't. Please don't.
And that's kind of, I think that kind of hurts too, of like knowing like, cause it's that thing like never meet your heroes. Like, I never got to meet him. Like, I would have loved to meet.
Oh, I don't
Bobby
think
Heenan.
He's the one that would disappoint you.
Oh, no. And that's the thing is, it's like, yeah, wow. The, like, I actually had someone that, you know, if they're skeletons, they're buried deep enough that no one knows them. So that's, and just to go way back to your question, like, I think one of my other favorite moments of his was his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
I watched that at work, yesterday. And had to go to the bathroom to like compose myself because I didn't want to start crying in front of these like middle-aged women
so
that I work with.
So to like kind of put some levity to it, because I asked because I have 2 favorite Bobby Heenan moments. It was the end of the Warrior thing where Warrior finally put him in a weasel suit. Like, Warrior knocked him out and put
his tail.
And then he was chasing his tail of this weasel suit. And then I think it was like the first night of Monday Night Raw. In New York. I think it was in New York. It was Monday Night Raw. And
this is when he dressed as a woman.
He couldn't,
trying to get
they
into the
wouldn't
show.
Let him into the show. So he tries like every, like he's dressed up as a woman trying to get into, like, it's like a segment throughout the entire first Monday Night Raw of Heenan trying to get into the building, Hasidic, but they will not let him.
A Hasidic Jew.
Yeah.
Outfit,
yeah.
Like,
and he was so funny. Like,
he's just the best. Like, I know everybody throws around the term the best, but Bobby Heenan was the best.
It's one of those things, like, and I'll say it now, like, it's a hard, I will even say, like, it's a hard decision because I genuinely believe that Paul Heyman is right up there with him. And like, and I think,
but in a different way.
But in a different way, but I do, but you know, at the same time, but like, when you just look at it, like, cold hard facts, like, when it comes down to the discussion of who is going to be the greatest manager of all time, like, I do think it's Heenan. I'm not just saying that because he just recently passed, like, but I also think that, like, Heyman has to be in that discussion. Like, it's not, an open shut deal, but it's, you know,
I mean,
I feel like I have to qualify. I don't know.
Yeah. I can think of a short list of greatest managers of all time. And if you had to put me on the spot and say, who are they right now? It would be Bobby Heenan, clearly, Paul Heyman, Jimmy Hart, Freddie Blassie.
Sensational, like,
Sherry. Yeah. There's a bunch of managers, but I don't think anyone would ever say that Bobby Heenan's not top.
Because, like, if you look at it, and I'm not throwing shade on Paul Heyman at all. Wow. That was weird. But Paul Heyman couldn't do the funny stuff that Bobby Heenan was.
He can be funny, but not in the same way.
Yeah, like, I can chuckle at Paul Heyman. I can watch a 30 or a 25-year-old Bobby Heenan bit and still.
Bobby Heenan was brilliant.
Belly laugh.
And
he was brilliant.
And I'm not trying to turn this into an argument, like, at all, but you have to also look at the material presented because, like, that's just not, that's not what Heyman has asked to do.
But like, Heenan can also be vicious. Like, that's why I'm saying, he has that wide range.
But he was also given the chance to show both, whereas Heyman kind of stays in his, he knows what he does well.
Yeah.
And I honestly think, like, because he had some really funny stuff with Punk.
Yeah.
Like, his teaming with Punk and when he was Paulie Dangerously, like, there was some funny stuff in ECW.
It also needs to be said that, you know, Bobby Heenan, like most of the wrestlers in the 80s, had free reign.
Yeah.
They said, go out there and do what you want, kid. You know, show your personality. Whereas Heyman is very much roped in by, okay, here's the script.
All right, and this is just a sad fact that I just kind of thought of. Is anybody from the Heenan family still alive?
Ming? Haku?
One.
The Warlord is still alive. Was it? Because he was in there too.
I'm gonna look it up, but I just had that thought because I know like the three main ones.
Ted DiBiase.
Was he in the family? I don't know if he was in the family.
He wasn't in the family. They worked together.
Yeah. While you're looking
extended
that up,
family.
So John Massey asked me if I would read something because he was a huge Bobby Heenan fan, and I told him I would. And I want to do that because John was real torn up about this too, and he said all I can say about Bobby Heenan is that hold fond memories of Primetime Wrestling, which was the talk show we were talking about a second ago. That was the show that made me a wrestling fan. He and Monsoon made Monday the place to watch wrestling before Raw, long before Raw. And I'm sad he's gone, but glad his 10-year battle with cancer is over. And God, that sucks.
Yeah. Also,
cruel. I hate life.
The WWF members alone in the Heenan family, there's literally like 15, so I take that dumb comment back.
It wasn't a dumb comment.
Cause like,
I'll give you a pass on this one in honor of Bobby Heenan.
Because like, I see Andre the Giant passed, Big John Studd passed,
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Passed.
Yeah, that's another big one. Rick Rude passed.
Yeah, so the
I'm telling you, man, you talk about your heroes dying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm.
You go back that
all
80s.
The people I'm growing up that I grew up watching, it's just like, oh man, I can't. The moment you face your own mortality, you start noticing these things, and
it sucks. He legit, like you said, like I mean, he literally is a hero. Yeah. I said on Facebook, like one of the first things I thought when CCW approached us to do commentary for him was like, I get to do a thing that Bobby Heenan did, like that's huge to me. Like I mean, I will never do it as good as him. No one will.
None of us will.
But just the idea that. You know, on this technicality, I'm still kind of like a peer.
It's like when you're in the same, you stand at the same place that someone famous stood. You're like, yeah. Well, they stood here too.
And it's one of those things, like, because I've always like, I think I would do it somewhere else, but I wouldn't want to do it at CCW. But like, if someone wanted me to manage, that's something that I've always wanted to do. Like, I've always wanted to do, like, everyone grows up wanting to be the wrestler, but like. As soon as I hit puberty, I kind of realized that's probably not going to happen just because I know my body, my terrible, terrible body. But I can get people mad at me by speaking. I do it regularly.
Yeah, I get mad at you. You don't even say anything.
I know.
It's that face.
Right? Hashtag punchable face. But so it's just one of those things like, man, if I could do like two of those things, like that would be insane. But. Again, you look at how well he did it and how great he was, and you're just like, why bother?
Yeah,
and like you're shooting for second.
It also makes you sad about the current state of commentary because, like, I don't have anything against the guys now.
I think commentary is as good as it's been in a real long time, and it's because of Corey Graves. Like
he's really good, but
he had that like him saying, "Without him, there is no me." Like he's absolutely right.
But Bobby Heenan.
That's
it. That's all you ever have to say. It's like, right. Yeah, he's really good at this. That's true, but Bobby Heenan.
But he's also someone who brings out the best in the people that he's with. Like, Cole and him are a great duo. Him being reunited with Phillips and Saxton on SmackDown is great. He makes Booker T bearable.
And it's just, all right, we can't talk about Bobby Heenan all night as much as I want to.
Watch.
But what really sucks to me is that you have all of these guys who have passed away, and a lot of them, you know, will openly admit that they did steroids, they partied hard, they did drugs, stuff like that, and it came back to haunt them. Eddie Guerrero, Macho Man, all these guys that did things and paid for it later in life. And from all accounts, Bobby Heenan wasn't one of them. He was a guy who did his job well, was amazing, and what got him? Cancer.
Yeah.
Randomly. You know, just something got him. He didn't do anything wrong.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's not a controversial statement. Everyone says it, but like legitimately, and we're going to go pro wrestling uncensored for a second, but just fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer. Dalton.
Like,
go. Oh, you can't. Allie, you can't either. Just me and Asa tonight. Okay. Yeah,
that's why we have you guys.
Yeah. Goody two shoes. Oh, if Bobby Heenan was here. He would be disappointed in you.
You know what? Actually, maybe he probably wouldn't. He would just be like, well, they're the two that made this strong stance.
And I'm pretty sure you have legitimately told me at some time, will you stop?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I don't think you do that as like a
tribute.
You're not doing it as a reference. You're just,
I think I did it at Girl Fight because you were heckling one of the wrestlers.
I think it's subconsciously. Yeah. It got into your head like a little worm and it just burrowed in and now it's there.
It weaseled your way in there.
Oh! All right. So we can't talk about Bobby Heenan all night. We do have news to cover. But I think 25 minutes will show you that we loved him.
Yeah.
Because we could do a Bobby Heenan show. We absolutely could.
Oh, I see a Tuesday show happening. Not so, monthly, just once. Maybe monthly.
Let's move on to the news. Mm. Let's move on to the news. But before we do, we want to say one last thing, and that is that also the Big Boss Man.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we need a couple
minutes. Just 2 minutes. Yeah. Dalton and I and Hunter and Allie, I believe you were there. We and Asa walked in on it. We were
Tanner was
there. We were watching the part where the Big Boss Man, one where he reads the poem to the Big Show's daddy. No, don't read the poem. I already did that years ago.
But like, you can bring a bit back. We'll have Asa read it sometime because I think he'll do a good job.
And then when the Big Boss Man hooks the casket up to the car.
I never caught this line.
The good line? Go ahead.
The great line. Big Boss Man with the good line. He hooks the casket up as the entire Big Show family is making sure Big Show didn't die getting hit by that car.
Yeah, that one little bump.
Yeah. He goes up, puts the chains on the casket, and says, "I'm going to turn your daddy into a drag queen."
Good!
I completely forgot he said that, and when it happened, it was like 99. I was too young to get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like listening to it now, I'm just like...
So there was a...
Ray's a genius.
There was a part of me that, again, I grew up in the 80s, so my Big Boss Man was the blue shirt, the good guy.
Mall cop.
Yeah. Well, he's from Cobb County. He served hard time. and I thought that the SWAT team Boss Man was inferior. I always thought he was inferior.
No.
Looking back on it now, I was like, oh my God. And I remember at the time, people were saying, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And now it's like, yes, but it's also brilliant.
I like,
and there will never be another moment like that.
And like, here's the thing. If you go back and
he
listen.
He fed Al Snow.
I was
going to
say, that wasn't even what you were watching when I walked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, we were watching him feed a pepper steak.
Go get a paw on your teeth.
What? Collar X elbow.
Oh!
But no, like.
Collar X pepper.
Oh, well, the collar was
X-pepper.
Cooked too. X pepper.
Hashtag hard time.
But. Like, going back and, like, if you listen to the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast with when we Ace and I did it, and I said the comment about Chris Jericho, being like, I never owned a Chris Jericho. Like, that list Jericho was the only Chris Jericho figure I've ever owned my entire life because I hated Chris Jericho so much. I have never, ever, ever owned a Big Boss Man figure.
Oh, you need to.
Because I hate – they made a SWAT one. I need to go see if it's on Amazon. But, like, I absolutely hated Big Boss Man as a child. Like, I didn't know he was a good guy at one point.
He was the best.
I bought – I remember because I played with the action figures a lot growing up, and I distinctly remember having my great grandma buy me the battle pack of, or whatever they were at the time, the two pack of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Big Boss Man. It was my second Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I just wanted Big Boss Man so I could beat him with every single wrestler that I owned.
Yeah, my action figure, Boss Man. Like my child action figure collection was a who's who of faces. And Triple H, whatever he was that month.
I bought Triple H so I could have some, like, because my first two wrestling action figures, Triple H was my second one, so I could have someone for Kane to beat.
Allie, you hear Oysters Figure Fellers over here talking about their wrestling figures they had? When I was a kid, I had old G.I. Joes that I already had, and I put a book on the ground, that was the ring, and then they wrestled. And it was fun, because they were articulated.
Oh, I found it.
They were. Right.
So I'm ordering this as we speak.
the Big Boss Man Elite?
Yeah, the one that, cause they made the, like,
SWAT.
Blue. Yeah, they made the SWAT and they also made the,
God. Just
the blue,
the only
like,
thing
shirt.
Bad about that is they need the version of him where his shirt's constantly open.
Oh, trust, you know how much extra action figure fodder I have? I can custom it.
Mid-match Boss Man?
Yeah. Well, serving dinner Boss Man.
This is totally unrelated. Didn't you, say that they're making a basic Sting, a post-match Sting where his face paint is smeared in.
Oh, I hate that. But they are.
I think that's neat. I think that's
a
cool touch.
You know what? That's a good segue. Speaking of Sting, let's get this out of the way real quick. WWE 2K18 released their first gameplay trailer, or as we like to call it, I think Dalton coined the term, the entrance trailer.
Because there wasn't a lot of gameplay.
There really wasn't.
Well, it was mainly OMG moments.
But didn't it look amazing?
Oh, it was so pretty.
It looked really, really good.
It looked pretty, but I was hoping for...
Like a watchtower?
I knew when they said it's a gameplay trailer... that this is not what we were going to get, but I was still kind of holding out hope that we were going to get like an extended, like, okay, this is...
Here's the features.
Here's someone from IGN playing the game, or here's someone from 2K playing the game while someone from IGN is like asking questions.
Right. Yeah.
Like you said, like a watchtower or something that we get with Injustice and Mortal Kombat.
They used to do that all the time.
And honestly, I would be super surprised if we didn't get one of those. It's just.
Well, they've been more and more secretive since they went to 2K.
This did nothing to
14
further.
Was the last one.
Like, I wasn't here last week. I'm kind of bummed because talking about the new story mode stuff, like, that actually intrigued me. Like, I'm like, okay, because that's one of the things I miss in the 2K games, is like, or in the wrestling games in general, is a good story mode.
Yeah.
And so I don't like the fact that if you want to be a heel, you have to be a corporate heel.
Like, you can't just be a heel.
Yeah.
No, you're not a corporate heel. You're a company man. You're just doing like
Yes. Yeah, so, but you're doing what the GM wants.
You can't be.
So you're a corporate heel.
You can't be like the lone bad guy. You have to be Triple H's fake ass little bitch.
Oh
God!
First one, Allie, hold up one. Allie, hold up one.
They can't see it.
But we need to keep track.
It's for us. How many times I say little bitch? That's twice.
Too sweet.
Oh no! This has become Isaac.
It's the count.
Oh no! We've become the internet wrestling community.
Suplex City.
No, stop it.
We're going to talk about internet wrestling here in a second too. By the way, but so not only did they bring out that trailer, but they this is in the notes. There's five Stings in this one. You have Surfer Sting.
You want me to do it?
No,
yeah, go ahead.
It's Sting 88, because he was in the DLC last year. Sting 92, which was in the DLC 2 years ago. Wolfpack Sting, which was DLC last year. Crow Sting, which was in DLC from 2K15. And Current Sting.
Which was in last year's game.
In the last two games.
So if you can't tell, basically what they're doing with 2K18 is they're literally taking every character they've ever put since like 15, and they're putting them all in the game. Which means we have, I believe, before DLC, almost 200 wrestlers.
I think we're at like 160.
Oh no, it's 190 at least. Confirmed. I'm pretty
sure. But you're counting duplicates. You're counting like all of the variants.
Yeah.
Because like,
maybe I was. I wasn't paying enough attention. I went to one of the sites. I don't remember. I think it's my SmackDown Hotel. It's one of the sites that covers the game. And I counted how many grids there were and added it up. So maybe there were duplicates in there.
Because
that very well could have been a doctored photo.
Because
they do that all the time.
And they're, like, the way that they have announced, like, they're like, okay, we're having this many people in the roster. I don't know what that number is off the top of my head, because I'm not following the 2K development as closely as you guys are. But so, like, they're doing this many people, but they're not counting, like, if there's 80 characters in the game, there's not 75 wrestlers and then Sting five times.
Right.
They're Sting once, but you get five versions of
them. Alternate outfits.
Because you're doing the same thing with like Cena and Triple H and Undertaker. Like.
And Cena was always my favorite. Because it was literally just like different color
armbands.
What
color t-shirt, yeah.
Yeah. Screw that. Sting is a good one because of the face paint. Ultimate Warrior, even though I hate the man.
Yeah.
The character. Face paint and the outfits. Mm-hmm. Hogan. Hogan less so. Macho Man.
Yeah.
Was great for that. But we're obviously going to keep you up to date on
Okay,
2K.
So I just did the math really quick. 208 panels in that SmackDown hotel.
Yeah.
So that's how many.
All legit.
Well, yes. They're
not doctored, but could be duplicates.
But you're also make that like right at 200 because it's counting in the Kurt Angles, the John Cena's, Rob Van Dam, and Batista.
But we're getting them, so.
Well, we are, yeah. But I'm saying.
But I mean, that's an insane roster. I remember growing up, my first wrestling game, I'm going to skip Nintendo because I don't remember much about it, but I had King of the Ring. I had WrestleMania, but let's just go to Super Nintendo because I was very fond of WWF Royal Rumble, and you had your choice of like 12 superstars back then. And that was like, oh wow.
That's
no,
like the entire
12
roster.
Of them.
Go back.
It's
like,
the 12 that mattered.
Go back to like.
And Crush.
Go back to like 6 years ago when like having 60 characters after DLC was a big deal.
Yeah. And now we've got like, when you look at the list of people that's left out of this game, shockingly small of the main roster.
It's just a handful of them. And honestly, DLC.
DLC.
Ain't gonna stop me from being bitter that Tony Neeson in it.
Ain't gonna stop
DLC.
I get that they can't fit as, the game engine isn't strong enough to get his abs.
Well,
probably thanks to the Switch.
They couldn't fit him on the Switch. That's true. That's absolutely true.
But I bet there's gonna be like four patches. One of them just gonna be called the Tony Neeson
patch. The abs patch. It's a game breaker. It's game
breaker. Like, it's going to screw up my universe
like,
mode
I was gonna say,
every
like,
year.
Like every other update with the 2K games.
This was an interesting story that I saw a couple days ago, and it's on the list here. What Culture Wrestling? WhatCulture.com. This is Adam from WhatCulture.com. Except not anymore.
Bye.
Because Adam's gone. Bye, girl. Bye, Felicia.
It's the entire What Culture Wrestling team.
Minus one.
Oh, really?
Simon Miller. Because remember, I said, like, the only person I, like, if this is a big work, the only person I will still watch from What Culture is Simon. But yeah, no, Jack the Jobber's gone, King Ross is gone, Adam Pacitti and Adam Blompier. That's, and then their video editor, Sam, which is the weird one to me.
And this just, this, like, I'm not a fan of the What Culture wrestling stuff in general. I've only seen a handful of it. Like, the What Culture Pro Wrestling, like, has produced some really great matches.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and I'm glad to see, like, I'm always gonna be happy that there's a place where people can go to work. That said, like, I don't like that they try to make themselves the star of their own show.
Especially Adam.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Like,
Pacitti and Blompier.
Yeah. And just like some of those videos that they've made have really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, just seem blatantly disrespectful.
Well, they're trying to be entertaining.
And yeah, but it's, I don't know. It's just, I'm not entertained by it. And I get that I'm in the minority. Like, oh, there are a lot of people that like it. What Culture is
apparently 7,000 people.
What, yeah. There are 7,000. They lost 7,000 subscribers on their YouTube channel. After this announcement was made. But to me, like, this just seems like it's a kind of funny. It is, you have all of these personalities who are working for this big corporation. They're not happy. They want to kind of strike out, do their own thing. So they quit the cushy, safe, relatively safe, you know, employer to strike out and do their own thing. Where with Kind of Funny, it was from IGN. You had Greg Miller, Colin Moriarty, Tim Geddes, and Nick Scarpino, who was like the video editor.
Yeah, you explained this to me whenever we talked about it, like, on Facebook.
And so it's like they struck out, made kind of funny games, and, you know, found success through like Patreon and crowdfunding stuff. But they also, like, by the time they struck out, they had all of these contacts in the video game industry.
Yeah.
That they, you know, had a sense of, there was an air of legitimacy to them. And then they've just gotten better and better. And honestly, like, one of the Adams put something on Twitter, like, there's a new logo. And
five.
So in the next, like, weeks, I'm sure they'll have a big announcement about their starting their own channel. The big thing for coming from this is What Culture Pro Wrestling is retaining What Culture Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Cause, like, honestly, I don't know who was, like, the booker of WCPW.
I thought it was Adam.
I have to assume it's one of the guys who made them the star of it.
Yeah.
Because
Adam, the,
I
Adam
don't
Blom,
see an out,
Blom, what's his name?
The big Blompier. Yeah.
I don't see an outside person thinking, yes,
let's
you
push
will
this
be the
guy.
Star.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I'm assuming that too. It's just one of those things, like, I don't know, like, how, without them there, how much, like, they have to compensate. Like, cause the personalities of the show that were non-wrestlers, so all the non-wrestling personalities, are gone.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much, like, they had influence backstage-wise. And it's just one of those things, it'll be interesting to see, because, like, WCPW started kind of as, like, that was really neat, they got that one-off show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started doing more shows. And now it's one of, like, Cody Rhodes mentioned it in his Jericho podcast, and he was like, no, I wrestled there against Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Like, they've had amazing talent there.
Yeah, they bring,
and Alberto Del Patron.
And, like, Ricochet, Offspray, Big Damo, like.
But I get why they would want, like, I get why they would want to leave and start their own thing.
No, and
I'm
not saying anything ill of them. I just want to see what happens with WCPW.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, that's what's going to, I think that's going
to
be
the
most.
They try to start a new company in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope not.
They might be taking their savings and buying Anthem.
Oh, God.
Alec, let me ask you a question. Have you seen What Culture Pro Wrestling, right? You know Adam. This is Adam from What Culture Pro Wrestling. Because,
like, I watch a lot of their stuff. Yeah. Well, I used to watch a lot of their stuff.
Who do you find more uppity? Who's more uppity and who do you want to punch more in the face? Adam from What Culture Pro Wrestling or Adam Conover?
What Culture?
Okay, and that was my segue into Adam Conover.
We should do a video of top five annoying What Culture Pro Wrestling personalities.
King Ross.
Who are the five most annoying What Culture personalities? Adam.
No.
Adam.
I'm going to make you.
Adam. Because he's a piece of shit.
No, I'm going to make you watch a King Ross thing.
Oh, I hate him the most.
Yeah,
I
know that. Yeah,
I don't know any of them.
Just this fat,
like I said,
annoying.
I never cared to, like, get super into it.
I will send you one King Ross and I will say watch a minute.
And that link will stay blue.
No, he'll send you the link and he'll send you, like, just something to make you forget it afterwards.
No.
Let's talk about Adam Conover. And I never thought I'd say those words on PWU.
But let's talk about him. He's lovely.
He ruins everything.
He does.
He ruined my relationship with my girlfriend.
Oh, can we?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you later. You might want to know.
That would be nice.
So
say the oh, can we now?
Say the line, Bart. Okay. So Xavier Woods did an Up, Up, Down, Down with Adam Conover. I did watch that, and that was very entertaining because Adam Conover, like, I do like his show a lot, and I do like him a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems like a really likable guy. Mm-hmm. And he's funny and all the good things.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but The New Day was on Adam Ruins Everything. Now, Allie, unfortunately, we couldn't watch it yet.
No.
Because we can't get the on-demand service somehow, even though we did before. So we ended up watching Paranormal Witness instead, and she fell asleep during it.
You know what she wouldn't have fallen asleep during? Adam Ruins Everything.
I'm sorry. Travis Walton apparently isn't an important story to anyone but me.
I
but that's
didn't
okay.
fall asleep in it.
Anywho.
Jake LaMotta died. Oh, wait a minute.
Raging Bull.
Yeah, I didn't know that you posted that. That's weird.
Yeah, and I was going to mention it on the show. He's a legendary boxer. Yeah, one of the greats. It's just this isn't really a combat sports show. It's a wrestling show.
No,
my
bad.
No, you're fine. It's okay. It's okay.
So back to the topic, the thing we were talking about.
Yeah. So yeah, well, just Adam, New Day was on Adam Ruins Everything. I haven't seen it yet, but knowing that group and Adam Conover's show, it's got to be entertaining. So I suggest.
I mean,
you
it was good because, like, I think you can find their bit on YouTube.
You probably,
or maybe
can.
It's on. It might be on their Facebook thing because it's the bit that I saw they were in was Adam Ruins Mount Rushmore, and it was like that. Like everything else in that show was super interesting and like stuff that I was unaware of. Mm-hmm. But they like they're not like a starring role. They just do kind of a they get their New Day Rocks chant kind of thing in there. And
for cowboys,
and the three of them in like on screen is entertaining.
I
like,
love
that's
those
just,
three. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw pictures of their trip to Japan, and I thought Xavier Woods was gonna die.
Xavier Woods being led around the video game store by AJ Styles on his Snapchat was just that is life.
Yeah,
like that.
The joy that they actually
felt.
That's
something that I can watch and like smile. Like that was my palate cleanser after like stopping myself from crying at work about Heenan.
So check that out. That's going to be really, really good. We got some other news and notes here we want to talk about. Paige has returned to the Performance Center.
Yep.
She's been posting updates daily.
WWE has been posting
and this
updates.
This is the first time WWE has mentioned her in any sort of official capacity since her suspension.
I think it's prime for her to come back. It's a good time. She's fresh. People haven't seen her in a while.
Like, I think it's a good time for her to come back, but what do you do with her?
Put her on SmackDown.
You have to put her on SmackDown. Asuka's going to Raw. Like, yeah.
You
Asuka's
do not
want
to. Oh my God! You know what this would be? Remember Tamina and Charlotte?
Yeah.
Hey, Paige is back, and here's Asuka.
Right.
Do you think I was talking about?
Oh, I don't even want to say it because I don't want it in the ether.
So go ahead.
But
say
I need
it.
To hear it now.
Asuka's first match on Raw. Paige distracts her. Asuka loses her first match on Raw because of Paige.
Because
Paige is jealous of all of the attention that Asuka got.
Oh. Because Paige was the first NXT Women's Champion, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah.
She also
I want it.
She also never got beaten for the NXT Women's Championship because she got moved to the main roster
and had to give it up.
And it was ruled that you can't be
both.
You can't be Divas Champion and NXT Women's Champion.
If you're gonna put anything in the ether, that's a good one.
Oh, I love that.
Except for the part where
Asuka
loses her first match, Shinsuke Nakamura,
and that's why. I don't think that story is worth it to me. To me, again, like maybe
it's totally worth it.
Like, I agree with Asa.
Sarah, when you listen to this, message me and tell me if you're mad at me or if you think that would be a good idea.
No, she's starting to get sick of Japanese wrestling. I think she would love that.
Oh, by the way, while we're talking about Sarah Summers, let me just say something real quick. Don't think we haven't noticed you plugging this out of our show lately.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a cruel joke on our part or what, but thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate the hell out of it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
She's a face now at CCW, so she can be nice to us.
She's a face on the internet.
She's been quietly like listening to us for like the last year, and she's like, oh, I can't say anything nice about
some bitches.
Is that how she talks?
Well, she says some bitches.
Oh, she definitely says that.
Whenever I do a voice for anybody, it almost always evolves into a country accent, Allie will tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I could be like, yeah, I was talking to Dalton the other day, and he's like, man, I don't want to play that WWE 2K18.
That's not how I sound at all.
I ran into the Queen in England. Man, yeah, I don't know what, these colonies are up to.
The only reason I do that is because I can't do Boomhauer.
So
if I could do
so
Boomhauer.
So speaking of Sarah, this is vaguely related. Did we talk about no, you weren't on the show. Shannon, did we talk to you about the Fella twins at all?
Was it from Glory Pro?
No.
No.
So when we went to
the Fella twins,
when we went to Sarah and Billy's to watch some of the Mae Young Classic
you,
and have
you
dinner,
you mentioned it, but you didn't tell me anything about it.
They are.
I'm pulling a picture up right now, but there's a related thing.
They're drag queens.
Oh,
who wrestle? That like one of them just had a match with Joey Ryan.
Was one the Big Show's?
Father? Oh, I was gonna mention that
One of them had a match with Joey Ryan, and that's hilarious. But the match that Billy showed us was a 8-person tag. And it was the Lucha Sisters, which is Leva Bates and Mia Yim. Oh. It was the Fella Twins, or two of the Fella Twins, because I think the Fella Twins is a stable. Maybe, and this was two of them. It was Jessica Havoc and...
Nevaeh. Oh, I can't think of her name.
I can't remember her name. And then there was another tag team that I don't remember their names either. But it was a 4-team match. And before the match starts, one of the Fella Twins proceeds to run down in the cattiest, bitchiest, the one that stands out was to Jessica Havoc. Honey, I'm not, like, doesn't she look great? I'm not going to say a thing about you. You know, you dropped 60 pounds and you're still a six.
But,
and so- it's just like, that got me.
So which, anyway.
By the way, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Friend of the show, the Fella Twins, because I tweeted out,
one of
my,
them.
I tweeted out, my life is now measured before and after my exposure to the Fella Twins, thanks to Billy Hills. Two of them retweeted it and liked it, and then one of them's following me now.
Yeah. But, no, so one of the Fella Twins was in a match against Joey Ryan. I think it was like a 3-way match. And, he got, the U-porn plex, but he had another guy in like a powerbomb position, like beforehand. And Joey Ryan flipped him so hard, he put the Fella Twin put the other dude in a Canadian destroyer.
Yeah.
Like it was like, and just mentioning Sarah and making me get that, that's my move of the week.
Yeah. Somewhere Jim Cornette spun in his grave.
Good.
That's your homework. If you're listening to this, find some Fella Twins on YouTube.
You keep saying that and I just keep hearing Sheamus.
Oh, they're gonna steal it. Oh, they're gonna get them. Oh, they're gonna get them.
No, right. That's the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't look alike though.
All right. So, a couple other real things. WWE. So you heard about Baron Corbin getting the D push and you were wondering why'd he do that? They seem so high on him. Well, it's not 100% sure, but what we do know is that WWE was unaware that Corbin is a part of a concussion lawsuit against the National Football League.
Yeah, Basically what everyone assumed was because he ran down the person on Twitter, we talked about it, you know, that was the alleged reason, and he was just like, yeah, you can think what you want, but that's not, you know, whatever, like no comment type deal. But it turns out, there was a meeting with a bunch of the WWE locker room with this doctor who is like their lead doctor downplaying CTE and concussions. Like, not necessarily downplaying, but kind of, you know.
It's like when Walmart gives you that video about why labor unions are bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Pretty much. And so, in this meeting, Baron Corbin made it real uncomfortable because he spoke up and is like, that's not true. Like, this is not good. Like, what you're saying is, like, he was trying to stand up for his fellow wrestlers and, like, his fellow athletes because we know now how serious concussions are, how brain injuries, CTE and everything. And so apparently that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He should have pulled this doctor aside separately and said, hey, you know, you're feeding us a bunch of BS, right?
Yeah.
And then it turns out he is part of this class action lawsuit against the NFL over CTE and, you know,
also heard he gained some respect from some of the wrestlers for speaking up though.
Yeah.
Like, but unfortunately the ones he made enemies of are,
well, and I don't,
the upper management.
And I don't think it's wrestlers that have.
No, management.
It's
management. It's the ones that are trying to keep the wrestlers from suing.
And again, this is all secondhand hearsay. So nothing that we're saying is like stone cold fact. So,
but we will keep you updated as we find out more.
But I think that is fascinating. One, also, how does WWE hire someone and not be aware
of what they're a part of?
Which I guess like maybe background checks don't go into like civil suits. But
no,
this seems like a pretty major one.
Honestly, I mean, you may not know that. Because I don't know any. This whole lawsuit thing is new to me. But like, maybe Baron Corbin was part of the NFLPLA. Like I think it's Cody. Correct me in the group chat tomorrow morning. But
please.
He's in the players' union.
Yeah.
So
he's just like automatically part
of it. He may like. I mean, it's not that he's like not like a Drew Brees or somebody like that's like a leader in this like the players' union.
Is Drew Brees?
He was at one point. Again, Cody, correct me in the group chat tomorrow.
Oh, for that. Never mind. I thought you meant like, for like this, what, for this lawsuit.
But I don't know if it's that union or not, or if it's just a group of players, but like Corbin may still hold some rights in the NFL players union.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, he is in this class action lawsuit.
Okay. I wouldn't have even thought of that. So.
And sometimes, you know, these guys, they hide things. They hide things.
Yeah.
No one at the time knew that Hardbody Harrison was a pimp.
That was
been arrested for kidnapping and endangering women. He was both.
Was he Stang? Was he the one that wanted to be Stang?
Stang, yeah.
And if you never thought you'd hear a Hot Buddy Harrison reference on the show.
Can we not reference him anymore?
I want to tell forgotten him.
Next week, I want to tell the Stang story.
We're going to have to listen to that episode Talk is Jericho again.
Ric Flair's 30 for 30 airs November 7th.
Yes. Woot. And apparently he has seen it.
And he's also up and moving. He's using a walker, unfortunately, right now, but he is doing better.
But
he's
compared to where he was 3 weeks ago.
Where we all thought we were going to be talking about him dying.
Yeah.
He's wearing a shirt saying, I ain't dead yet, mother effers.
Yep.
I kind of love that.
So I can't remember who tweeted it, but there was a wrestler, and it's like, if Ric Flair, in his announcement video that he hasn't died, is wearing a t-shirt that you can go online and buy from him, if that's not the most pro wrestler thing I've ever heard in my life, I don't know what is.
We have a couple previews before we get that, though. Jim Cornette is out of GFW.
Yes.
Which is sudden, but not unexpected, because he had a deal. That deal's over.
Well, and apparently the original deal was with Jeff Jarrett, and he was only going to be brought in to fire Bruce Pritchard as an on-screen authority figure so he can go on to be a heel manager and then set some story stuff in motion, and it was only going to be a one-off thing. But then Jarrett convinced him, like, hey, why don't we do stuff leading up to Bound for Glory? Turns out, Bound for Glory being in Canada, a lot of the tapings are going to be in Canada. Jim Cornette's not allowed in Canada because
for beating up people.
For beating up fans in the 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I hate Jim Cornette, like, in his defense, it was in defense.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, if the fans didn't like you, there's none of this Illinois nonsense where there's no guardrails.
Yeah.
Like, you'd have a full scale riot every night.
And Jim Cornette
instead
was good
of just
at
that. Like 30% of the time.
He sure was.
And Jim Cornette was one of the, again, as I don't personally care for the man, but
his views.
For his views, but as a wrestling character, again, someone who needs to be in the discussion of one of the like top list of managers.
I was about to say, I would like to put his name in that list. Yeah. I don't think he's in top five, but top 10.
Yeah.
I would say.
What he did very well. Too well, to the point where people would physically attack him, right. Where he was arrested for beating up fans for defending
probably
himself.
Probably with a tennis racket.
Because there is a point where, like, fighting back, you know, it crosses a threshold where then you become the aggressor, and that's where legality
happens.
Like
that guy
happens.
At Starbucks that I told you the story earlier, that he hit the guy with the chair that was trying to rob the place. He beat the guy up so badly, the guy is going to sue him. The robber is going to sue the Good Samaritan.
That was kind of the plot of Liar Liar.
Also a plot from Married with Children, where Al Bundy beat up the guy that robbed his house, and the guy sued him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Al Bundy then said, well, if I'm going to lose, I might as well lose big, and punched him again in the courtroom, but broke his hand and sued him for it.
Oh, that sounds like a Simpsons episode.
God bless you, Al Bundy. The other big news out of GFW, though, is that GFW is out of GFW Impact Wrestling. It's just Anthem Impact now.
Yeah.
Again.
All of the official labeling has switched back to Impact Wrestling.
Oh, they're going to have to get those old belts back.
Yeah.
Pick something.
Well, so this looks like, you know, Jeff Jarrett may not be coming back from his indefinite hiatus.
Yeah.
However they worded it.
Right.
Yeah, just this company, man. Like, just rough luck.
Like, this is one of the few things that I literally look at this and go, how do they still exist?
And honestly, like,
Better businesses go out of business.
This is as good
as Toys R Us.
Not yet.
Shut up.
Okay. And by the way, for the longest time, Hastings was just restructuring so they wouldn't have to close stores. So.
We can talk about it after the show.
Moving on.
But GFW Impact has been as good as it's ever been lately. Like, this story with Bobby Lashley is actually really, really cool.
Lashley's good.
Oh, Lashley's great. And now he's actually being given a story that, like, matters. Like, it's more than just, like, Lashley hit hard. It's Lashley inner conflict because he loved wrestle, but he loved friends.
Why Lashley Mongo?
I don't know, but in my head,
Is Lashley pawn in Game of Life?
Kind of. Yes, very much so in this current storyline.
Remember whenever they, like, did the, like, unification and they decided giving it to El Patron was a better idea?
Yeah.
Who?
Alberto.
Drawn blanks here.
Shrug.
Paige's boyfriend.
Fiance. Husband?
Husband.
Oh, yeah, they did get married, that's right. It's a shame. Like, I am rooting for TNA, for Impact, whatever. Like,
yeah, me too.
Because
you don't want people to lose jobs.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, man, it's kind of, sometimes it's hard to really.
You wonder how they stay afloat.
Try to stay supportive.
This is a dumpster fire. TNA is the dog in the fire.
Cody.
This is fine.
Why is there?
Less is fine.
Okay.
Cody Rhodes did a podcast with Chris Jericho recently, like it dropped today. Mm-hmm. And Chris Jericho asked him about it, and he was like, the issue with it is when you're there for 3 months and business or ownership changes hands 5 times,
yeah,
it's really hard to take anything seriously. And he's like, don't get me wrong, I loved everybody. I loved Dixie. I loved Billy. I loved, like, everybody was super cool to me. But you have no direction.
Right. And you never know when you're going to get, when it's going to go fold. You're nervous all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Cody Rhodes, let's move on because we don't have much time at all. They're going to, Cody Rhodes upset and Brandi Rhodes upset that WWE is using Starrcade as a name for their 1125 SmackDown.
Which the bigger story is WWE is using the Starrcade name. There was a rumor floating like a day or two before this officially got announced that they were actually considering using old WCW properties.
Because why not?
But yeah, because you have the access to them. Like
Halloween Havoc.
The fact, exactly.
That's a damn good war games.
I think Halloween is actually on a SmackDown this year. They just had the SmackDown Las Vegas thing. Yeah. Like if they're going to do a themed SmackDown in the dry spell between pay-per-views,
it has to be Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc would be a perfect one.
That was one of my favorite pay-per-views.
You know, look at the Great American Bash.
Yes.
Which someone on Reddit made the best point I've seen in a really long time. They changed that to the Bash because they didn't want to alienate the foreign market. Whereas now, look, SmackDown has 3 anti-America heels running.
I want to talk about that here in a second.
But yeah, so please. So Starrcade is it's going to be a house show. Everything's pointing to
it's a SmackDown.
No, it's a November 25th in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's a SmackDown live event.
Oh, so it's not a televised.
No, this
SmackDown.
Isn't going to be a televised SmackDown. It's a house show, but it looks like it's going to be filmed as a network special.
It's a Beast in the East kind of thing.
Kinda. Everything's pointing at it should be. There's no reason that it shouldn't be a live event. There is a card already presented for it. But it's one of those cards subject to change. This is in November, so who knows what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
But what is it? Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Rock and Roll Express are both being advertised for it.
Yeah.
Which that's cool.
Wait, for
Starrcade.
Starrcade, really? Yeah.
Which, because that's, you know.
Do they still use Clash of the Champions for pay-per-view?
No, Night of Champions. Well, they haven't used Clash of Champions in like
a while.
Well, I mean, WCW was the last to use it.
Can I just say something that might be unpopular? I miss WCW.
No.
That's all.
I miss having a big viable competitor.
Do you not miss WCW? Because WCW when it was great was the best.
I missed the first hour of WCW.
The Luchas?
The cruiserweights. When I watched the cruiserweights before I switched over to Raw.
Well, you can just watch 205 Live now.
Sure can.
But like, yeah, no, I don't.
And
World War III was a cluster F. What was it? War Games was dumb.
Oh. Moving on, but you have just invalidated any opinion you hold.
Well, I mean, you know, WWE's obviously doing well for themselves. You saw the pictures of SmackDown, didn't you? Not like they need WCW's
help.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I guess they could do War Games because they have the extra room to put a second ring.
They could knock out a bunch of those seats.
Now that Rusev has returned to his conquering hero ways, the people will come flooding in. Bank on it.
They need to because they're doing not great.
And then the Cody Rhodes being upset about it thing is he's like, hey, if you're going to do a thing that my dad created, maybe put Goldust on the show. And then Michael Hayes, which this kind of felt kind of crappy of him to say. Of him being like, well, why don't you come back and team with him? Like, he presented it like it was a genuine offer, but.
Yeah, but at the same time, like.
And then.
They've got it. My God. Sometimes I think of Cody Rhodes and his criticisms of like, well, what about the Dusty stuff? And I want to say, like, dude, move on. Like, stop bitching about it all the time.
He doesn't. Like, you realize that.
He
like,
complains about it.
When WWE uses it, like, but that's.
I mean, like, just because they're using the name Starrcade, like, I don't see why he should be upset by it. I don't.
And I don't think he's upset. I don't think he's like, this is a legitimate, like, he's mad about it.
Well, if he's going to go online and take a shot at him, it sounds like he's upset enough to go online and take a shot at him.
I mean, it sounds like it's more he's defending his brother. Like,
yeah, and like, it's something that his dad created. You know, his dad that they took a bunch of shots at.
And his dad that they also named a tournament after, have a giant statue for.
After the fact.
Well, like, it's, hey, how, hey, I'm not defending the way they treated
are,
Dusty Rhodes.
How are they gonna act when JR passes away? Like, that's gonna be tragic and heartbreaking, but they are absolutely gonna sweep out the whole Vince pretending to have Bell's palsy and mocking him.
Well, I'm sure they'll do that I'd say they do that with every wrestler. Well, they swept Jimmy Snuka's murder under the rug, so.
Jimmy Snuka made them a lot of money.
But I will say I really liked the follow-up tweets of Matt Hardy saying, Cody, yes, come. But bring the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are on board, and then Colt Cabana's like, okay, let's just all go to Starrcade.
Lee and wouldn't like it then.
How happy would they be if they showed up too? Or would Vince just kind of go, who are these guys?
Probably.
They're the ones you invited.
They're Triple H.
He would be so mad at Michael.
Triple H would just be like, hey, Vince, just real quick, I need to borrow you for like 20 minutes. I know it's in the middle of a show. Wait, this is a live show. Vince isn't going to be there.
I was going to say, he's going to lock Vince in the closet. And just
he's going to be making phone calls. Can somebody cut the electric to Vince's house, please?
I truly believe that when Vince McMahon passes away, and which, by the way, when he does, we will treat it with the utmost respect because he is a visionary.
Yeah.
But I do believe that they'll be walking around with him Weekend at Bernie style. Still making decisions.
When he starts showing up wearing sunglasses.
Would it be a good angle or a terrible angle if Kevin Owens brought Vince?
Terrible angle.
Kevin Owens is walking with his corpse and like, hey, what's up, guys?
I'm with terrible angle now.
Weekend at Vinny's.
God.
Booking it right now. All right. We really don't have a lot of time to talk about the No Mercy preview. Doesn't matter. I mean, watch it Sunday. The only thing you really need to see is the rise of Braun Strowman to hopefully beat Brock Lesnar and become the
or the complete destruction of Braun Strowman.
I know in my heart of hearts that it won't happen. Like, I know he's not going to win. I know he's not going to win. But they got me. Like, I'm a
Samoa
puppet.
Joe all over again.
But this is more than Joe. I knew they weren't going to put the belt on Joe. Like, there wasn't even a like.
But it does happen sometimes. What was the one?
Dean Ambrose. That was the most recent one where I was like, holy hell.
Yeah, but not that. There was one where we were watching it and Ace and I literally jumped up and went like, oh my God. And we hugged each other and started hopping up and down. What was that? We were so shocked was it
AJ?
Was it AJ Styles winning?
I don't remember.
No, cause I remember AJ Styles winning and we were just like, good. Like nobody really got excited.
There was one where we were so surprised that the person lost. We got up and started hugging cause we were like, I can't believe it. I didn't think he was going to win. And I can't remember what it is now.
Yeah,
was it Kevin Owens winning?
No.
I don't remember.
That was a Raw. We weren't watching.
I don't remember. That's very sad.
But they've got me hook, line, and sinker. Like, I cannot express to you the jump up and down, like, giddy squeal, shaky arms, like, up to my chest, like, when Strowman rolled through that German.
I
know you mentioned it, but oh my, like, it got me.
What's really gonna suck, though, is that when he forgets to do it at the pay-per-view.
There's gonna be something. It's something that leads into whatever Strowman's next feud is. It's gonna be something random. I think it might be I don't know who, but I think it's gonna be like a return.
No, but I just mean that he forgets to roll through the German. Like, at the pay-per-view, suddenly he takes a German and he's down.
And Heyman and Lesnar, cause they had a really good segment on Raw.
They did, that
talking
was a great
about
interview.
Like, yeah, but congratulations, you rolled through a German suplex. My client, Brock Lesnar, will hit you with a million German suplexes. Eventually you will stop getting up.
I really like that segment. The only criticism I have is I wish when Lesnar said something at the end, he didn't say Suplex City, bitch. Like, yeah. I really wish there was something
that's Roman
better.
Reigns' line.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about that. Mm. Also, Insider wins $45,000 on SummerSlam results.
Yeah.
I meant to mention that.
It looks like there's going to be a lot of online gambling sites are probably going to stop offering betting odds on WWE and pro wrestling because it seemed for the longest time, it's just seen as like this fun little thing you can do. But someone on the inside who knew that finishes to the matches, they broke it down. I don't know jack about gambling.
Right.
But he ended up winning, he or she ended up winning $45,600 because he knew all of the results. Nothing got changed last minute. And
it was Vince.
Does that boggle the mind that they actually take bets on a predetermined sport?
No, because it's one of those.
If we all showed up with $20 and we were like, "All right, here's how we're gonna bet on this,"
we would have
a fun time.
But the exact
problem is that if somebody works there who knows the results could make. I mean, that's the like epitome of like crooked betting.
This
you
is
know?
The Pete Rose thing, like,
right?
Except
this is throwing a game.
Yeah,
you know, this
except
is throwing
you don't
the
have
Super
to
Bowl.
Throw the. You don't have to throw
because
the game.
You know the results. You have the Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah. Also, it's not illegal to throw a wrestling match.
It's
not illegal to throw a wrestling match, but it's illegal to bet on something you know the outcome on.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's extremely illegal.
It's super illegal.
That's why Pete Rose is banned from, like, there's lots of...
It's very illegal.
But it is super illegal. Why would that not be illegal? That I could...
Because you're not betting on a sporting event, you're betting on a TV show.
But
when you know, when you are holding the out, when you were explicitly told the outcome, it's like insider trading.
Yeah. It's exactly like insider trading. I was going to say it's like if you worked on Star Wars, you bet someone $1 million that Anakin Skywalker was Luke's father.
Yeah.
You know, Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Spoiler alert.
You know?
Like, which, I mean, and that is kind of the equivalent of pro wrestling. Like,
it's a movie.
Except I don't think George Lucas changed the script 20 minutes before filming Star Wars.
And in our movies, they can break character when they need to help an angle along. Like Roman Reigns and John Cena. By the way, Roman Reigns had his best moment on Monday because John Cena wasn't there.
To tear him down, yeah.
He played the thing, and Dalton and I watched it, and I said, I guarantee you he says bitch at the end. And he sure enough called him a bitch again. No,
and
he
in the middle.
Movie star. Yeah. Movie star was what he ended with this time. I still hate this. I'll be glad when this feud's over at this point.
Yeah.
I'll be glad
I dug the Alex Riley reference.
I hate
like,
it.
Like, I liked it.
It was cute.
It was cutesy. Like, but it was one of those things where it's like, ah, okay. Like, I'm also not a huge fan of this program going forward. Like, of this program. This was absolutely Roman's best showing. Like,
Cena wasn't there to make him look bad.
And not like, just like material wise, but like his delivery, like this felt, it finally felt like he was confident in the words he was saying.
Right.
Like
a week before, thankfully.
Yeah. It was somewhat believable.
Water.
Please no dying. You have the list. I know you wanted to talk about, if you can, on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal cut the super edgelord
90s
super racist.
Oh, not even 90s. At least 90s it was entertaining.
You know? See, and that was one of the reviews I read about the segment was just like, I mean, if he would have been presented in a way of like, if it felt like he meant it.
Right.
Then okay, then at least it's entertaining. But this just felt like Vince hand wrote a script for him.
Yeah, and it was super forced.
Yeah.
You could tell by the reactions of the Singh brothers, because Dalton, you're a big fan of the Singh brothers, as am I, and as most people here.
See, and that's what I took it as. Is just
I like watching them get hurt.
Oh, no, I like them.
They played it so over the top, which, yeah it kind of was the point. And if it, but it's not funny. Like, it's still not funny. It's not entertaining on any level. And if it was like, yeah, but it's supposed to make you annoyed at them. That worked. That's true. I was annoyed. But then you
but
don't
for
have
the wrong
to,
reasons.
Yeah, you don't have to take it to the level of, and Ali, you watched it. You were half asleep when we watched. I don't know if you remember. But they keep showing the same picture of Shinsuke Nakamura. They're like, this is his defeated face. This is his happy face. And it's the same picture of him, like, growling. And then Jinder Mahal laughs and says, oh, Shinsuke, they rook the same. And
Always rook the same.
And he slows it down so you make sure you hear the rook the same.
Because they can't say L's.
And then he later says that he calls him Mr. Miyagi. And the Singh brothers, they're laughing. And I felt bad for them as performers to have to go out there and perform such insultingly bad, old, boring racism. Like, yeah. And I'm sure Vince McMahon was busting his gut back there laughing at this. This is hilarious to him. And to everyone else, it's just embarrassing. The fans chanted, that's too far. And for once, I agree that was too far. It was stupid.
Heard somebody yell, that's racist.
Yeah, and it was.
And what sucks is that reaction means that's pretty much going to be Jinder's character for the rest of this feud.
Yeah, a hypocrite.
Jinder got a reaction.
Yep.
Good for him.
He sure did.
They finally got him a reaction.
I just wish the
experiment's over?
No, like, I'm fine with the experiment. I just wish, like, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'm...
Cut your losses.
Like, I get it.
Have you seen the SmackDown attendance lately?
I get it's the whole,
it's bad.
Like, apparently, the network subscription numbers in India have gone down since Jinder Mahal has been champion.
Uh-oh.
Jeez.
They checked his Wikipedia page and saw he was from Calgary, too.
And what sucks is they're going to blame this on Jinder.
Yeah.
They're going to say, well, Jinder, you didn't perform as a champion.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's like, no, it's your fault for not giving me the material.
It's the same thing with Diesel.
Or any of
Jack Swagger.
Most of the guys that didn't get over.
I will firmly plant my flag that Jack Swagger could have been great.
If they would have given him a few more years.
If they didn't just like, oh, well, this Big Show story didn't work, so bye. And then to be fair, they were about to, and then he screwed it up real bad. So.
Hey. Smoke weed and get pulled over by the police. One day.
In 2017, you have a foreign, quote unquote, well, he is, no matter what.
Yeah, he's international. Yeah. He's from Canada.
In 2017, you have a foreign wrestler referring to a Japanese wrestler as Mr. Miyagi and saying, Rook. Look, I get it. I watched that Simpsons clip where Krusty says, me so sorry over and over again. It's funny. That's funny. This is just bad. And you wonder why the company, like, why the attendance is shit.
I genuinely think Jinder is a better performer than they're letting him be.
100%.
And it's just, I mean, for the longest time, like, yeah, it was working to an extent. And like, and you know, people will make the argument like, oh, so you're annoyed with him. He's a heel. You don't like him. So it's working. And it's like, no, I'm not, but I'm not entertained. Like, I'm not.
Not only that.
It's the point where it's like, if Jinder shows up, I'm watching the show for not, like, for everything but him. I find myself changing the channel.
Yeah.
Those aren't the clips I'm watching on YouTube. I'm not.
And you can't find that clip. When WWE did not post it.
Huh? How about that?
How about that?
As they just left a Japanese and Chinese tour.
Rook.
They.
Rook. Asa.
It's the thing
Ari,
where it's like
help out here.
This is the match. This is the match at Hell in a Cell, when it comes time for Hell in a Cell, that we gather around in the back of the room and eat pizza.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happens in the background.
We sit there and talk.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm annoyed with gender. I'm annoyed with his material. That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
That's not the same. That's like saying, oh, you really like that villain from that movie, or you hate that villain in the movie. That's what he was supposed to do. Like, no, I didn't hate the villain. I hated the way he was treated.
Yeah. I love Dolph Ziggler in the ring. I hate the entrance thing.
Oh, yeah. You mean that thing? Did you hear crickets? I heard crickets. I saw a goddamn tumbleweed go across
because
the
crickets were the only people
I'm
that
so
were.
Excited.
Crickets got free tickets to the show.
I'm so excited for Bobby Roode to come out and, like, one, I'm excited for that match. But I'm also ready for this experiment to end.
Yeah.
Because again, like.
This is terrible. What's this doing?
You done burned me with Ziggler.
Have you seen this? Basically, no. Ziggler comes out, like on the last show, he came out, he did Triple H's entrance. And then he was like, can I run NXT now? And then he runs in the back. He comes out as Shawn Michaels. Then he comes back and comes out as DX. And the crowd goes mild.
Sitting on their hands.
Yeah. Because it's stupid. What is this supposed to accomplish?
The first week it was kind of funny because he hit up Macho Man and Bayley.
If he would do CM Punk, that would get a reaction.
Oh, God.
No, that would get a reaction.
Somebody's
livid for it.
I don't know if it was Pro Wrestling Network or like one of the pages I followed on Facebook. They were like, all right, guys, we know he's not coming back, but. How great would it be if Ziggler was doing this, CM Punk music hits, and everybody's like, and like loses their mind. He's like, oh, they're actually going to make fun of him. And then just CM Punk comes out.
That would be the best reaction.
Ziggler then walks away.
Because no one's cheering. Because everyone knows it's going to be Ziggler. So he's like, really? This is the reaction you're going to get me? I'm gone forever. And then he just leaves forever.
When did SmackDown become a dumpster fire?
Was
it when Jinder became champion? Because remember how we used to praise it as the better?
Honestly, there's still some really good stuff in SmackDown.
There is, but like, the crowds are leaving. The crowds, viewership, I just saw it today, viewership is the lowest it's been for this last SmackDown in a long time.
Except the week before that was the highest it's been since the brand split.
And you know, who do you think they're going to give that to? Vince? Vince was on the show.
Yeah.
Ratings are up. That's not true, is it?
Like, no, it is.
Historically, it very much
yeah,
is.
Even at this point now, I'm going, because I used to say, no, it's not Vince on the show, it's the wrestlers and it's the writing, and now I'm like, no, it is, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's, oh my God. It always has been. Like, when you look at the trend of when Vince makes his one-off appearances, it's always when ratings are getting dangerously low and they need some sort of boost.
But it did not carry over because this rating
it never does.
Yeah.
That's
and the
thing.
Attendance is terrible. And I hate to say it, but they need to get the title off Jinder. If they're not going to do the right thing with him, get the title
off. Keep the title on him, but change your.
Give him
stop going for obnoxious heel and go for the I came to bring you peace.
Yeah.
Like, let him do.
Yeah, because
know, I just. I st-
he had a moment on this show mm-hmm. where he said, before he ruined it completely, where he told them, Jinder, these people aren't worth, or Shinsuke, these people aren't worth it. They're going to do to you what they did to me. Because at their heart, they're xenophobic, they're racist. Like, he made sense, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's part of his character. But then you follow that up with Rook. And you call him Mr. Miyagi, and it's like, come on, Vince.
I still want
better riders.
I still very much want I want Rusev to be the person to beat Jinder. I want the championship on Rusev. I want all the championships to be on Rusev.
Yes.
He is now the conquering hero. Rusev number one. Rusev number one. All the
right.
crowd was chanting it. They were,
of course
it.
They were.
This
they're
could
thirsty.
Be, this, I'm not, I don't want to, it's the Braun Strowman thing. I know it's not. I don't want to let myself get excited for a thing, but like, there's all, you, the Stone Cold podcast with Cesaro, like the Daniel Bryan yes chant, the Jack Swagger, we the people, like everyone needs a thing.
That's
the
hook.
They need the hook that gets on the morning show that the crowd can really do.
Yes.
Rusev number one is goofy. But it's funny.
It's perfect.
And yeah, for like handsome Rusev, I.
Like, I'm not finished with you.
And he's so, yeah. I just how much I wanted to hear the words. Whenever I was watching the clips of Strowman murder Enzo, and then Enzo in the trainer room, I just was waiting. I was waiting for
I'm
the.
I'm not finished with you. Throws him through the wall.
You know what else they chant? USA, USA, Danny Bandana and the USA. USA.
God,
all right, we got to get out of here, guys.
Yeah, we're starting to do bits.
Yeah, all right, we'll be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark 1985 AD. Before we do that, we're gonna hit you with the usual plugs, and that is Podzilla1985.com. If you want to go back and check out the old episodes, including that great Nerds for Hire episode that you guys did yesterday, I listened to it, by the way. It was really good. Jesse messaged me and said, so Did we do a good job explaining how to get into comics? I was like, yes, but they still terrify me because of how badly they've screwed up X-Men.
Yeah, you can tell me how to fight Braun Strowman. You can do a good job for an hour and a half. I still won't do it.
Stand there. He'll hit you. It's fine.
He finds you.
Yeah.
And he won't be finished.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. You want to go on there and talk to us like Zane Laney, super fan and one of our favorite people. And Ace is.
When you said, he's like, yeah, and he ain't finished. But just like the rest of the world, he is finished with Enzo.
Oh.
Oh, that's too mean?
That's okay. Too far.
Okay.
That's too far.
Okay.
Danny Bandana in the USA.
Also, patreon.com/podzilla1985. If you'd like to donate some monies, and we'll see you tomorrow for 1985 AD. Dalton, take us out.
Ace is not here. We can go another hour. You want to do it?
No.